I'm David Conrad. I am the general manager of IANA. I'm not going to be giving you statistics this time. I thought I'd try something different. Instead, I'm just going to give you a status report of what IANA is doing right now. As many of you, all of you, hopefully, most of you, presumably, know, IANA has a set of functions that we do. We allocate V4, V6, and ASN numbers to the regional registries. We maintain protocol parameter registries in cooperation with the IETF, IESG, IAB. This includes us actually reviewing every internet draft that goes through looking for IANA considerations. We also allocate all the OIDs that use in network management systems. We maintain .ARPA with the IAB and .INT pretty much by ourselves. INT is International Treaty Organizations. It's sort of odd that IANA is the registry for that, but that's just the way things have worked historically. We also do root zone management. This is probably the most politically sensitive aspect of the job that IANA does. Also one of the more interesting because of all the politics involved. This is the current IANA structure. The IANA is essentially the blue bits. There's a whole lot of other gray bits that I didn't think y'all would really care all that much about. Correct me if I'm wrong. I can probably add them the next time, although it might make things about the size of a pixel. Barbara Roseman is our operations manager, we just hired Yoshiko, who is right there in the yellow, as our one of our project specialists working under Barbara. There are two boxes over here. If anybody's happening to looking for a job, we're hiring. Numbers liaison working with the Internet Registries folks and the ITF liaison, who gets the joys of working with the ITF folks. So current activities, some administrative stuff. We have migrated or are in the process of finishing up the migration to RT as a ticketing system. There was a brief interlude where ICANN had decided that they were a software development house and had worked on their own ticketing system, and there was a migration prior to my joining ICANN to that system. It wasn't quite done yet, and IANA needed to get our job done, so we moved back to RT. We're archiving all the IANA data that has been collected over the years. There's a lot of paper stuff that has been just sitting in boxes and collecting dust. So we've hired a company to go and scan it and do an OCR on it and then putting it into a document management system. We're redesigning the IANA web page, and we've also purchased a product called Crystal Reports to generate pretty pictures to show to the board and to management because they really like pretty pictures. More significantly, we're automating a lot of the processes that exist at the IANA. For a long time, most of the tasks that were done at the IANA were done manually. There are these computer things that I hear have some promise. So we decided to sort of use them. Right now, the EIANA automation effort is written by some folks in Poland, NASC, which is, I believe, a science network organization. And it's for the root management stuff, the root zone management stuff. We also are automating the private enterprise numbers, which are also known as OIDs generally, so that basically it's a very easy task to automate, so we're actually going to automate it. One of the other things that we're working on in cooperation with Jeff is basically cleaning up the IANA address allocation registry. Yoshiko is actually taking that on as her first task. We've are in the process of implementing a 24/7 call center support because primarily the CCTLD folks wanted the ability to call us at any time and scream at us. discuss things with us in pleasing tones. We're in the process of getting 24/7 call center. And as I mentioned, we're hiring if you happen to be looking for a job. So here are a couple of screenshots of the new IANA homepage that's under development, just sort of a preview of things that are we're going to be proposing. The way IANA works, it's very difficult for us to sneeze without getting approval from someone or multiple bodies. What we're going to be doing is generating these new web pages and presenting them to the various constituencies for them to say, what were you thinking? And hopefully eventually get some sort of consensus that it doesn't suck, or at least it sucks less than the current IANA webpage. Not much to say. I mean, it's more colorful. The intent is to actually make it easy to find things that people are interested in, as opposed to the current IANA page, which is actually designed to make people get lost. This is going to be the new route management page. It's got this little clickable map down there, so if you happen to know where your country is, you can actually click on it, and it will do the who is thing. And and there will, right there, you see the little stat. I get to use a laser. little stats coming soon thing, because that's going to integrate into this reports generation thing, so you can get sort of semi-live reports about what IANA is doing, which most of the time is just sitting back and eating popcorn, watching the movies. As I mentioned, we also do a lot of port and protocol stuff for the IETF. This is the matrix of not the matrix that we all live in, but actually the port protocol matrix that is where all the various registries, the various protocol parameters live. It's actually a fairly big page, but it is the IETF mandated us to develop it this way. So it's this really long page that, and this thing up here at the top is a way to jump down to, if you happen to know the protocol parameter you're looking for, you can jump to it quickly. Otherwise, this is probably unreadable, but this is a screenshot of the webpage for EIANA. We're integrating this into IANA's webpage, doing all the CSS magic, and it will be available for testing. It actually, if you can't see it, the presentation is on the APNIC webpage, and you'll be able to see that URL up there. You can actually go there now and play around with it. It works. It has anything that you might want to do as a TLD manager. How many TLD managers are here? Okay. A few. It's a nice little package that was written by the folks in Poland for the IANA, and we're actually integrating it into the IANA now. So that's all the stuff that's happening currently. We're actually fairly busy. There are a few things that are that we plan on getting done. Hopefully, before the Marrakesh meeting, which I believe is in July or August or something, which is, of course, when you want to go to Morocco. So we're going to be XMLizing all the various registries so that we can actually generate the registries. Right now, the registries are maintained by hand, and what we want to do is actually to generate them automatically. Anytime there's a change in any of the aspects of the registries, just push a button and it dumps out the new ones. We are, right now, the IANA Whois only does name stuff, and in discussions last night, I discovered that it only does name stuff. I always thought it did both, but live and learn. We're going to add address registry stuff to the IANA Whois service. We're continuing on the IANA process automation task. We're going to be implementing stuff to make DNSSEC signing of the root zone hopefully implementable. And we're also going to be doing automating the port allocation function. And we've actually been in discussions with someone you might be familiar with, John Earls, to implement a customer satisfaction survey to see how many people rate us failing and how many people rate us poor. I'm sure there are other categories there, but we'll see. On the horizon, things that we're looking at, looking to do in the future, we're going to be working somehow with the certificate authority in one way or another with the regional registries. I don't actually know exactly what this means yet, so you can just ask Jeff because he knows everything about this, or George, or Randy. One of the biggest problems IANA has is in trying to authenticate people who come to us requesting services. With the RIRs, that's not really a problem because all the RIR guys are completely trustworthy. However, there are folks who are maybe less trustworthy, and they come to us and ask us to change things, and we have some difficulty in figuring out if they should be, and if they actually should be requesting it, whether the change they're requesting is appropriate. So we're going to be working on some sort of improved authorization mechanism. It may imply hardware tokens. It'll almost certainly imply some sort of hard crypto, which means that I can probably look forward to many visits with governmental officials in the U.S., more than I already have. Right now, the root zone management is very, shall we say, primitive. We're actually moving to use this thing called the internet to actually do the root zone management using something called EPP. And we'll be doing that with VeriSign, automating the NADDR and IP6 ARPA delegations for the top level blocks that we give to the regional registries to make their lives a little easier. We have discussed in the past making the registries that IANA provides available programmatically, you know, some mechanism. The actual mechanism we're currently discussing, I've had some folks come to me and say, let's use BEEP. Other people say use XML RPC, and some folks say, well, how can you not use SOAP? We haven't figured out exactly what we'll do, but we'll probably only do one initially. And we're also doing some IANA infrastructure improvements. Right now, there is, one might say, a single point of failure with regards to the IANA in that it exists primarily in Marina Del Rey, California, which, if you don't know, is actually, you could sort of consider it sitting on top of a bowl of jelly. It's actually built on landfill, the area where the IANA building is, or the ICANN building, excuse me. So if there's a major earthquake, it'll get really exciting. We want to actually replicate some of our servers off to different places. You know, we actually have an office in Belgium, and I guess Belgium's safe, well, at least physically. So summarizing, yeah, we do a lot of stuff with numbers and identifiers. That's part of the contract that IANA has with the U.S. Department of Commerce under an agreement or something with the U.S. government via the MOU with ICANN. There's a tangled relationship there that I haven't figured out yet, but I'm hoping before I retire I will be able to figure it out. We have been adding staff. We brought in some consultants to try to improve our service and to try to address the backlog that is created over the past. And contrary to popular belief, this guy, Emil Coué, did not kill himself. He's a psychologist in the 1920s, came up with that phrase, but he did not kill himself, just so you know. We are fairly busy right now. The staff is running full out, 5 days, 6 days a week, just trying to reduce the backlogs that have existed for quite a while. There's a lot of stuff that we need to do still, and we are going to continue to be busy, but that shouldn't discourage you for applying for a job at IANA. And if anyone has any suggestions on how we can improve things, yeah, please let me know. I'm always interested. And with that, any questions?
Thank you, David. One question. Stefan Bortsmeyer from AFNIC. You
yes.
didn't mention the one thing everyone is talking about, the request for information issued by the US government about IANA management.
What's that? No.
I may explain if you want.
Yeah. So the explanation that I have received on this is that it is a part of the normal process under which the U.S. government issues RFPs. The first, because initially the ICANN contract or MOU or IANA contract or whatever was done as a sole source, only one organization was asked to do the job. It wasn't put out for open bid. The Department of Commerce did not have a full set of criteria under which they would expect the IANA to operate. The RFI process, which is part of the normal governmental RFP process, I'm told, is intended to obtain information about how people will meet the functions that were defined within the RFI itself. That would then go into Department of Commerce, who would look at it, decide if there's sufficient entry. You know, if no one responds, then they'll have to sole source it again. If multiple people respond, then they'll have to determine which of the criteria that were listed are relevant based on the input that are provided, and then that would go into the RFP for the subsequent renewal of the contract. So basically, that was the long version. The short version is that the RFI is the first step in the process by which Department of Commerce will either decide to issue a rebid for the IANA contract or not. So the excitement over the RFI has been a little confusing to me because it's actually not unusual. Everyone has known that IANA rebid thing has been discussed quite a bit for quite a while. So the fact that the U.S. government issues an RFI should not have come as a surprise to anyone.
Not a surprise, just a confirmation that IANA answers to the U.S. government, not to the internet community.
That's not an either-or situation, right? I mean, it's not exclusive. I report to Paul. Paul can tell me things to do. He
Toomey,
frequently does.
Paul Toomey, that is.
Yeah, Paul. Well, and Paul Wilson as well. But the current organizational structure under which IANA functions has been a contract via the U.S. Department of Commerce. The intent was that, my understanding, was that eventually the U.S. government would say to ICANN, you're old enough to leave the nest now, but for various reasons, among which I am told were other governments saying ICANN was not old enough yet, U.S. government decided not to say ICANN is old enough to leave the nest.
Look, I might say thanks for the answer and just remind us that we're running up against lunch and we've still got some EC meeting preparations. There will be some time for open mic after lunch and we can.
Yeah, and I'm happy to discuss, if anyone's interested in it.
Okay, so thanks very much, David.
Thank you.